Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy New Year, everybody. Now, every year when I say that, and I debated whether or not I should say it this morning, but every year when I say it, everybody says, huh, wait a minute, has she had enough coffee this morning? Because why is it Happy New Year? It's not the 1st of January. And no, we are still 5 weeks away from January 1st tomorrow. We aren't singing Auld Lang Syne, but today is the first day, the beginning of the new year in the church calendar. So instead of partying last night and having the countdown till midnight and making resolutions this morning, instead we're lighting the candle of hope on our Advent wreath, as we enter into this season of Advent, this season of hope, this season of faithful waiting. I love Advent. It delights me so much to see all the blue around. I forget how beautiful the blue pyramids are until I see them again every year. But as much as I love Advent, everything in our culture, in the world around us, is saying that instant gratification is the way to go. It's telling us to skip over Advent and just go right to Christmas. But maybe we can remember, even if it's just for a few moments each day, to pause and lean a little bit more fully into the gifts that God has for us in this season. Hope, peace, joy, and love. Advent means coming or arrival. In the first Advent, or the OG Advent, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, emptied himself completely and became human. God became one of us and lived among us. And in doing so, Jesus inaugurated the kingdom of God, God's reign of peace and justice, love and mercy. In his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus reveals to us and shows us what this reign of peace and justice looked like and how to live it. In the second Advent, when Christ comes again, he will fully and completely bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. But I have to tell you, I used to think that Advent was just a fancy church word for Christmas season. I thought it was an extension of the Christmas season. But what I've discovered over the years is that Advent isn't just a different word, and it's not just a different season, but it's a completely different approach to Jesus coming. Advent is the season in which we actively and intentionally remember and anticipate. We remember how God was faithful in Jesus coming at that first Advent. And we anticipate how God will be faithful when Jesus comes again in the second Advent. But I will confess that at first glance, if the words taken in Mark's gospel that we read today are taken literally, I don't have a lot of anticipation about that second coming, at least not hopeful anticipation. Something a little more like fear and dread comes into me when I hear these words. And that's exactly why we need to understand what these words meant in the context that they were written in, so that then we can understand them in their entirety. Because these words about this cosmic disturbance, about stars falling, it's not meant to scare us. Curiously enough, the original hearers of Mark's gospel would have been deeply encouraged and comforted by these words, which is what they were intended to be. But the meaning gets a little bit lost in translation, and in this case, not the translation of words, but the translation of what the words mean, the translation of context, because we can't easily translate these what these words mean from their ancient context into our modern one. And instead of asking you to figure it out, maybe you'll give me the liberty to tell you what's going on. What Jesus is trying to say to his disciples and to his followers is that while no one knows the exact time that I will return, you can be absolutely assured that I will come again. And until then, actively wait. Always be prepared, but not out of fear, out of hopeful anticipation, out of excitement and expectation. Because when I do come again, I'm going to gather all people together, and I will fully and completely bring about my kingdom of love and hope and justice and peace. And in this kingdom, death will be no more. There will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering. I will set everything right. You see, this message is intended to be one of hope and encouragement. One of my favorite songwriters, J.J. Heller, has a song called Who You Are. In it, she tells the story of several people who are going through circumstances of loss, heartbreak, grief, sorrow. But every chorus says, "Sometimes I don't know what you're doing, but I know who you are." I wonder if you've ever felt that way about God. Sometimes we don't know what God is doing, but we know who God is. Sisters and brothers, we know that God is faithful and compassionate. We know that God is merciful, that God is slow to anger, and that God abounds in steadfast love. We know that God is love, and that love came to dwell with us and among us in Jesus. We also know that God's love is so powerful that it can bring life out of death, beauty out of ashes, hope out of despair. That love is so powerful that nothing can separate us from it. Not death, not life, not angels or rulers, not anything present or anything to come. Nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God. This is who God is. And so even if we don't know exactly when Jesus will come again, and even if we don't know exactly how it will happen and how it will unfold, we know who is coming. And because we know who is coming, that is reason for hope and encouragement, not fear. But I know very well that it's much easier to have fear and anxiety than it is to have hope about the future. And sadly, there are a lot of Christians out there who use fear about the end times to manipulate people, to coerce people into believing or acting certain ways. And that's harmful and wrong. And if you've ever been subjected to that, I am so sorry. Because fear is not of God. God is love, and God's perfect love casts out all fear. So yes, today's passage is about the end times. And yes, we don't know when or how Jesus will come. But we know Jesus. We know Jesus. And it's not going to be some different version of him that's somehow meaner or more vengeful that comes. It's going to be the very same Jesus who came 2,000 years ago, so humbly that he was born in a stable and slept in a feeding trough. It's the very same Jesus who turned the world upside down by declaring that in the kingdom of God, it's the merciful and the meek and the peacemakers who are blessed. It's the very same Jesus who invited the children to come to him, even when others wanted to send them away. It's the very same Jesus, because he is God, and he shows us what God is like: faithful and compassionate, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And so we wait, brothers and sisters, with hopeful expectation and anticipation. And while we do, we cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come among us and bring your kingdom and make all things new." Thanks be to God. Amen.